This is the next section, the third section of chapter 4, An Outline of Esoteric Science by Rudolf Steiner, beginning on paragraph 30 with the description of the sun condition. The second of the great evolutionary phases we mentioned, the sun stage, raised human beings to a higher state of consciousness than had been achieved on Saturn. Although in comparison to our present-day consciousness, this sun state might well be described as unconsciousness, since it approximates the state we now find ourselves in during completely dreamless sleep. Or we could also compare it to the low-grade consciousness in which the present-day plant world slumbers. To supersensible perception, there is no such thing as unconsciousness, only various degrees of consciousness. Everything in the world is conscious. In the course of the sun phase of evolution, the human essence attained a higher degree of consciousness because the etheric body or life body was incorporated into its makeup. Before this could happen, the Saturn stages had to be recapitulated as described earlier. This recapitulation had a very specific purpose. Once the period of rest came to an end, the former Saturn emerged from cosmic sleep, in quotes, as a new cosmic being, as the sun. But as a result, the circumstances of evolution had changed. The spiritual beings whose activity on Saturn had been described, the spiritual beings whose activity on Saturn has been described had moved on to different states of being. To begin with, however, germinal human beings appeared on the newly formed sun just as they were at the end of the Saturn phase. They first had to transform the various stages of development they went through on Saturn so that these stages would correspond to circumstances on the sun. For this reason, the sun phase began with a repetition of events on Saturn, adapting them to the changed circumstances of the sun's life. When human beings had gone far enough in adapting the level of development it had acquired on Saturn to the sun's circumstances, the spirits of wisdom mentioned earlier began to allow the etheric body or life body to stream into the physical body. The higher level that human beings achieved on the sun can be characterized by saying that the physical body, already seminally formed on Saturn, was lifted to a second level of perfection by becoming a vehicle for an etheric or life body. This etheric body or life body itself achieved its first level of perfection during the sun phase of evolution. In order for the physical body to reach its second level of perfection and the life body its first, however, still other spiritual beings had to intervene during the further course of the sun's life, just as was already described with regard to the Saturn phase. When the spirits of wisdom began to pour the life body into the germinal human beings, the sun, dark until then, began to shine. With the life body, the first signs of inner vitality also entered the germinal human being. Life began. What still had to be described as a mere semblance of life on Saturn then became actual life. The period of pouring the life body into the human being lasted for a certain length of time, after which an important change took place in the germinal human being. It separated into two parts. Whereas previously the physical body and the life body were intimately connected and formed a whole, at this point the physical body began to detach itself as a separate part. However, it also continued to be permeated by the life body. Now we are dealing with a twofold human being. One part is a physical body permeated by a life body working within it. The other part is pure life body. This separation, however, took place during a rest period in the life of the sun. During this period, the shining that had already begun was extinguished, and the separation took place during a cosmic night, as it were. However, this interval of rest was much shorter than the above-mentioned one between the Saturn and Sun phases. Once this rest period was over, the spirits of wisdom continued to work for a time on the twofold human being, just as they had formerly worked on the unitary human being. Then the spirits of motion began their activity. They suffused the human life body with their own astral body. Within the physical body, the human life body then acquired the ability to carry out certain inner movements that can be compared to the movements of sap in a present-day plant. Bodies on Saturn had consisted solely of heat substance. During the sun phase of evolution, this heat substance condensed into a state that can be compared to the present state of gas or vapor, a state that can be described as air. The first beginnings of this state became evident after the spirits of motion had begun their activity. The following scene presents itself to supersensible consciousness. Within the substance of heat, something resembling delicate structures appeared and began to make rhythmical movements by means of the forces of the life body. These structures represented the human entity's physical body at that stage of evolution. They were totally permeated with warmth and wrapped in a mantle of warmth. Physically speaking, we can call them warmth structures that incorporated regularly moving shapes of air. If we want to retain the earlier comparison to the present-day plant, we must keep in mind that we are not dealing with a compact plant formation, but with a gaseous or airy structure whose movements are comparable to the movements of sap in the present-day plant. This gaseous or airy substance becomes visible to supersensible consciousness through the effect of the light that it emits. So we could also speak of figures of light that present themselves to spiritual vision. The evolution we have characterized then continued. After a certain time, another rest period ensued, after which the spirits of motion continued their activity until it was supplemented by that of the spirits of form, whose effect was to allow the formerly constantly changing gaseous shapes to assume permanent forms. This also took place through the fact that the spirits of form allowed their forces to flow in and out of the human life body. Previously, when only the spirits of motion were working on them, the gaseous shapes were in constant motion, retaining their form only for an instant. At this point, however, they took on temporarily distinguishable forms. After a certain length of time, a rest period again ensued, after which the spirits of form resumed their activity. Then, however, entirely new conditions appeared within the sun's evolution. We have reached the midpoint of the sun phase of evolution. This is the time when the spirits of personality, who had reached the human stage on Saturn, transcended this stage and rose to a higher level of perfection. They acquired a consciousness that present-day human beings have not yet acquired in the ordinary course of evolution. We will acquire it when the Earth, that is the fourth of the planetary stages of evolution, arrives at its goal and enters the next planetary phase. Then we will not only perceive what our senses convey to us about our surroundings, but will also be capable of perceiving in image form the inner soul states of the beings around us. We will possess pictorial consciousness while retaining full self-awareness. There will be nothing dreamlike or dull in the pictures we see. We will perceive the soul element in images, but in images that express realities, in the same way that physical colors and sounds do now. At present, we can only rise to this kind of vision through spiritual scientific training, which will be discussed later on in this book. Midway through the sun phase, the spirits of personality acquired this vision as a gift of their normal evolution. It made them capable of working on the newly formed human entity's life body in a way that was similar to how they had worked on the physical body during the Saturn phase, when warmth reflected their own personality back at them. At this point, the gaseous shapes were reflecting the images of these beings' pictorial consciousness back at them in resplendent light. They beheld supersensibly what was taking place on the sun, and their vision was no mere observing. It was as if something of the power that human beings call, quote-unquote, love, were asserting itself in the images that streamed toward them from the sun. If we observe this more closely with our soul powers, we discover the reason for this phenomenon. Exalted beings were mingling their activity with the light streaming out from the sun. These were the spirits of love, the Christian seraphim that were mentioned earlier. From this point onward, they acted on the human etheric body or life body along with the spirits of personality. This activity caused the life body itself to advance one stage further in its course of evolution. It acquired the ability not only to transform the gaseous shapes within it, but also to adapt them so that the first signs of reproduction appeared in the living human being. Secretions were driven out of the gaseous structures, sweated out, so to speak, and assumed forms similar to their maternal structures. In characterizing the sun's further evolution, we must point to a fact that is all-important in cosmic evolution, namely, that not all beings reach their goals in the course of an evolutionary epoch. Some fall short of their goal. Thus, during the Saturn phase, not all the spirits of personality actually reached the intended human level that was described earlier. Likewise, not every human physical body that developed on Saturn attained the degree of maturity necessary to become the vehicle of an independent life body on the Sun. As a result, there were beings and formations on the Sun that were not adapted to the circumstances there and had to use the Sun phase to make up for what they had missed on Saturn. Therefore, spiritual observation of the Sun stage shows that when the spirits of wisdom began pouring into the body of the Sun grew dark, as it were. Intermingled in it were formations that would actually still have belonged to Saturn. These were warmth structures that were not able to condense into air in the right way. Human beings who had remained behind at the Saturn stage. They could not become vehicles for normally developed life bodies. This Saturn warmth substance that remained behind then divided into two parts on the Sun. One part was sucked up, so to speak, by human bodies and formed a certain internalized lower human nature from then on. This means that human beings on the Sun absorbed something into their bodily nature that actually corresponded to the Saturn phase. Just as the human Saturn bodies had made it possible for the spirits of personality to rise to the human level, this Saturn element in human beings did the same for the spirits of fire on the Sun. They raised themselves to the human level by allowing their forces to stream in and out of this Saturn element, just as the spirits of personality had done on Saturn. This, too, happened in the middle of the Sun phase of evolution. At this point, the Saturn element in human beings was mature enough so that with its help, the spirits of fire, Archangeloi, were able to pass through their human stage. Another part of Saturn's warmth substance separated off and achieved an independent existence alongside and among human beings of the Sun phase. It constituted a second kingdom alongside the human kingdom, a kingdom that developed a completely independent but purely physical warmth body on the Sun. Consequently, it did not include independent life bodies that could be worked on by the fully developed spirits of personality in the way described earlier. However, some of the spirits of personality had also remained behind at the Saturn stage, not reaching the level of humanity. A bond of attraction existed between them and the second newly independent Sun Kingdom. These spirits, then, had to work on this underdeveloped kingdom in the same way that their more advanced counterparts had worked on the human beings who first developed physical bodies on Saturn. On the Sun itself, however, it was not possible for the underdeveloped spirits of personality to do this, so they withdrew from the body of the Sun and formed a separate and independent cosmic body outside of it. From there, they were able to work back on the beings of the second Sun Kingdom. Thus, the single cosmic formation of the former Saturn split into two. From this point on, the Sun had a second cosmic body in its surroundings, a body that constituted a rebirth of Saturn after a fashion, a new Saturn. From there, the quality of personality radiated into the second Sun Kingdom. In the second kingdom, we are dealing with beings that had no personality of their own on the Sun itself. However, they reflected the personality of the spirits of personality on the new Saturn back to them. Supersensible consciousness can observe warmth forces at work among the human beings on the Sun, forces that played into the Sun's normal evolution. In these forces, we can see the influence of these new Saturn spirits. We must keep in mind that during the middle of the Sun phase, the human being was organized into a physical body and a life body in which the more advanced spirits of personality worked in conjunction with the spirits of love. Part of the underdeveloped Saturn nature, in which the spirits of fire were active, mingled with the physical body. Everything the spirits of fire produced in this Saturn nature must be seen as a precursor of present-day human sense organs. We have seen how the spirits of fire had already worked on rudimentary forms of our senses in the warmth substance on old Saturn, and in what the spirits of personality accomplished in conjunction with the spirits of love, seraphim, we can recognize the seminal stages of our present-day glandular system. However, the work of the spirits of personality dwelling on new Saturn was not exhausted in what was described above. They not only extended their activity to the second Sun Kingdom, as has been mentioned, but also created a certain connection between this kingdom and the human senses. The warmth substances of this kingdom flowed in and out through the seminal human senses, enabling human beings on the Sun to achieve a certain perception of this lower kingdom that was outside of themselves. Of course, this was only a dim perception, in keeping with the dullness of the Saturn consciousness we talked about earlier. It consisted essentially of various impressions of heat. Everything described here as belonging to the middle of the Sun phase of evolution lasted for a certain amount of time, and then another period of rest began. After that, evolution continued along the same lines for a while, until the human ether body was mature enough to permit the beginning of a joint effort between the sons of life, Angeloi, and the spirits of harmony, Cherubim. Within the human being, manifestations comparable to perceptions of taste, but expressing themselves outwardly as sounds, became apparent to supersensible consciousness. As you recall, we already had to describe something similar with regard to the Saturn phase of evolution. On the Sun, however, this development was more inward. It was full of a life that was more independent. In this process, the sons of life achieved the dim pictorial consciousness that the spirits of fire had achieved on Saturn. This was done with the help of the spirits of harmony, Cherubim, who actually beheld spiritually what was taking place at that point in the Sun's evolution, but renounced all the fruits of this perception, all feeling for the wisdom-filled images that came about, and allowed these to flow into the dream consciousness of the Sons of Life in magnificent supernatural disclosures, as it were. In turn, the Sons of Life worked the figures of these visions of theirs into the human ether body, which could then go on to achieve ever higher levels of development. Once again, a period of rest set in. Once again, everything arose out of cosmic sleep. And after a time, human beings matured to the point where they began to rouse forces of their own. These were the same forces that had streamed into them through the activity of the thrones during the last part of the Saturn phase. These human beings now developed an inner life that presents itself to consciousness in a way comparable to an inner perception of smell. toward the outside, however, toward celestial space. These human beings revealed themselves as personalities that were not, however, directed by any internal eye, but seemed more like plants giving the impression of personality. We have already seen machine-like manifestations of personality at the end of the Saturn phase, and just as the initial nucleus of something that is only seminally present even in present-day human beings, namely the spirit body or Atma, developed on Saturn, a similar initial nucleus of the life spirit, Buddhi, was formed on the Sun. After all this had been going on for a while, another period of rest ensued, after which, just as in previous similar instances, human activity proceeded for a certain time. The conditions that then set in entailed a new intervention on the part of the spirits of wisdom. Through this, human beings became capable of feeling the first traces of sympathy and antipathy for their surroundings. They still had no real feeling, but they did have a forerunner of feeling, because the inner life activity, whose manifestations might be characterized as perceptions of smell, expressed itself outwardly as a kind of primitive speech, having inwardly perceived a sympathetic smell or a taste or a glimmer of light. The human being in question expressed this outwardly through a sound, and this also occurred in the appropriate fashion in the case of inwardly unsympathetic sensations. As far as human beings were concerned, the actual purpose of the Sun phase of evolution was accomplished through all the processes that have been described. Human beings had achieved a sleep consciousness, a level of consciousness higher than what they had possessed on Saturn. After a while, the point in evolution was reached when the higher beings associated with the Sun stage had to move on to other spheres in order to assimilate the potentials they had laid down in themselves through their work on the human being. A major period of rest ensued, like the one that had taken place between the Saturn and Sun phases. Everything that had developed on the Sun passed over into a state comparable to that of a plant when its growth forces lie dormant in the seed. Just as these forces of growth come to light again in a new plant, however, all of the Sun's life emerged from the womb of the cosmos again when the rest period was over, and a new planetary existence began. We will be able to grasp the significance of this pause, this cosmic sleep, if we direct our spiritual view to one of the orders of beings mentioned above, such as the spirits of wisdom, for example. On Saturn they had not yet advanced to the point of being able to allow an ether body to stream out of them. They only became ready to do so through the experiences they had on Saturn. During the rest period they transformed what had been prepared in them into actual capacities, so that on the Sun they were sufficiently advanced to allow life to stream forth from them, endowing human beings with ether bodies of their own. That is the end of the Sun description. The Moon now follows, which I will continue on the same recording. Paragraph 38, the beginning of Moon. After the rest period, what had formerly been the Sun emerged from cosmic sleep. That is, it became perceptible to the forces of spiritual vision once again, as it had been before becoming invisible during the rest period. However, a twofold aspect then appeared in the newly emerging planetary being that will be called the Moon, not to be confused with the part of it that is the Moon, Earth's Moon at present. The first thing we must note is that what had separated off during the Sun phase as new Saturn had been reabsorbed into this new planetary being. That is, new Saturn had reunited with the Sun during the period of rest. To begin with, everything that had been present in the first Saturn reappeared as a single cosmic formation. The second thing we must note is that during the period of rest, the human life bodies that had developed on the Sun had been absorbed by something that constituted a certain spiritual covering for the planet. At this point, therefore, these life bodies did not appear in union with the corresponding physical human bodies, which appeared separately for the time being. Although these physical bodies carried with them everything that had been created in them on Saturn and Sun, they lacked ether bodies or life bodies. They were not able to absorb ether bodies immediately, because they had not yet adjusted to the evolution these ether bodies had undergone during the rest period. In order to accomplish this adjustment, a repetition of the Saturn state once again took place at the beginning of the moon phase of evolution. Physical human beings again recapitulated the periods of Saturn's evolution, but under totally changed circumstances. On Saturn, as we know, the only forces at work in human beings had been the forces of a warmth body, but at this point the forces of the gaseous body acquired on the Sun were also active. However, they did not appear at the very beginning of the moon phase of evolution, when it was as if human beings consisted only of heat substance, with the gaseous forces lying dormant within them. Then a time came when the first signs of these gaseous forces appeared. Finally, in the last stage of the Saturn recapitulation, human beings again appeared as they had done while in a living state on the Sun. Their life, however, again proved to be only a semblance of life. First, a period of rest ensued, similar to the short periods of rest during the Sun phase of evolution. Then the influx of the life body into the physical body, which had meanwhile become mature enough to receive it, began again. Like the Saturn recapitulation, this influx took place in three distinct epochs. During the second of these epochs, human beings adjusted to the new moon circumstances to the extent that the spirits of motion were able to transform the ability they had acquired into deeds, and were able to allow the astral body to flow out of their own essential nature into the human being. The spirits of motion had prepared themselves for this work during the Sun phase, and transformed what they had prepared into the above-mentioned ability during the rest period between the Sun and Moon incarnations. The influx of the astral body continued for a while, and then one of the shorter rest periods ensued, after which the influx continued until the spirits of form began their activity. The astral body acquired its first soul characteristics through the fact that the spirits of motion were allowing it to stream into human beings. Processes that took place in the astral body because it possessed a life body, processes that had still been plant-like in character during the Sun phase of evolution, began to be accompanied by sensation, and the astral body began to experience pleasure and displeasure because of these processes. Until the intervention of the spirits of form, however, this remained an ever-changing inner ebb and flow of pleasure and displeasure. But these ever-changing feelings were at that point transformed in such a way that the first trace of longing and desire appeared in human beings, who then attempted to repeat what had once given them pleasure and to avoid what they had experienced with antipathy. However, since the spirits of form did not surrender their own being to humans, but simply allowed their forces to stream in and out of them, human desires lacked inwardness and independence. They were guided by the spirits of form and appeared instinctive in character. On Saturn, the human physical body was a body of warmth. On the Sun, it condensed into the gaseous state, that is, into air. During the moon phase of evolution, at a certain point when the astral element was streaming in, the physical body achieved a further degree of condensation and entered a state comparable to present-day liquids. We can call this state water, meaning not water as we understand it today, but any fluid form of existence. The human physical body then gradually assumed a form consisting of three structures composed of different states of matter, the densest, a water body, had currents of air running through it, and both water and air were also permeated by warmth in various manifestations. Once again, not all the bodies that had existed at the Sun stage had achieved the full maturity corresponding to that stage. On the Moon, therefore, there were some bodies that were only at the Saturn stage, and others that had only reached the Sun stage. So two other kingdoms came about alongside the kingdom of normally developing human beings. One of these kingdoms consisted of beings that had remained behind at the Saturn stage, and thus had only physical bodies, that were not ready to become vehicles for independent life bodies on the moon. This was the lowest moon kingdom. The second kingdom consisted of beings that had remained behind at the Sun stage, and, therefore, did not become mature enough on the moon to incorporate independent astral bodies. These beings formed an intermediary kingdom between the kingdom just mentioned and the kingdom of normally developing human beings. However, something else also took place. Since substances composed merely of forces of heat and those composed merely of air also permeated human beings at this stage, humans also carried a Saturn and a Sun character within themselves. As a result, a certain rift developed in human nature, calling up something very significant in moon evolution after the activity of the spirits of form began. A cleft started to form in the cosmic body of the moon, and part of its substances and beings separated from the rest. Two cosmic bodies were formed out of one. One of them became the dwelling place of certain higher beings, who had formerly been more closely linked to the unitary cosmic body. In contrast, the other was occupied by human beings, the two lower kingdoms described above, and certain higher beings who did not move over to the first cosmic body. The first cosmic body with its higher beings appeared like a reborn but refined sun, while the other was the actual new formation of this phase, the old moon, in quotes, the third, after Saturn and Sun, planetary incarnation of our Earth. The reborn sun took only warmth and air with it from the substances that had come about on the moon, while the watery element was present on what remained of the moon in addition to these two other substances. As a result of this separation, the beings who had departed with the re-emerging sun were not hampered in their further development by the denser moon beings, and were able to proceed unhindered in their own evolution. This made it possible for them to achieve an even greater power in working down on the moon beings from outside, from their sun. In turn, these moon beings also received new evolutionary possibilities. The spirits of form, in particular, had remained united with these moon beings and proceeded to firmly establish the character of their passions and desires. This was gradually expressed in a further condensation of the human physical body. Its formerly merely watery consistency became viscous, and its air and warmth formations became correspondingly denser. Similar processes also took place in the two lower kingdoms. As a result of the separation of the moon body from the sun body, the moon related to the sun in the same way that the Saturn body had once related to the entire surrounding cosmos and its evolution. The Saturn body had been formed out of the body of the spirits of will, or thrones. Its substance reflected back into cosmic space everything experienced by the spiritual beings living in the surroundings, and through events that followed, this reflection gradually awoke to independent life. The basis of all evolution lies in this gradual separation of independent being from the life of its surroundings. As though by reflection, these surroundings then imprint themselves on this separate being, which then continues to evolve independently. The moon body also separated from the sun body in this way, first reflecting back the life of the sun. This is the cosmic process that would have taken place if nothing else had happened. There would have been a sun body, where the beings adapted to it would have experienced certain things in the elements of warmth and air. Opposite this sun body there would have been a moon body, where other beings living in warmth, air, and water would have evolved. The progress from the sun embodiment to the moon would have consisted in the fact that the life of the sun beings was mirrored for them by moon processes, as it were, allowing them to enjoy it in a way that was not possible for them during the sun embodiment. In fact, however, the process of evolution did not continue in this way. Something then happened that was profoundly significant for all subsequent evolution. Certain beings adapted to the moon body took possession of the element of will, the legacy of the thrones, that was available to them and used it to shape a life of their own, independent of the life of the sun. Alongside moon experiences that were fully under the influence of the sun, other independent moon experiences developed, causing a state of rebellion or revolt against the sun beings. The different kingdoms that had come about on sun and moon, especially the kingdom of incipient human beings, were drawn into this revolt. As a result, the moon body contained two sorts of life, both spiritually and materially speaking. One that was intimately connected to the life of the sun, and one that broke away from all this and went its own independent way. This division into two kinds of life was then expressed in all subsequent events of the moon embodiment. What this evolutionary period presents to supersensible consciousness can be characterized in the images that follow. The entire surface of the moon consisted of a semi-living substance that was sometimes sluggish and sometimes animate in its movement. There was still no mass of minerals in the sense of the rocks and soil we walk around on today. We could say that a kingdom of plant minerals was present. However, we must imagine that the entire surface of the moon consisted of this plant mineral substance, just as the earth now consists of rocks, soil, and so on. Just as nowadays we have towering masses of rock, on the moon there were harder portions comparable to hard, woody structures or horn formations. Just as plants now rise out of the mineral soil, moon soil was covered and permeated by the second kingdom, which consisted of certain plant animals whose substance was softer and more inherently mobile than that of the surface mass. This kingdom spread out over the other one like a viscous sea. Human beings themselves can be described as animal humans whose nature included the components of the two other kingdoms. However, each human being was totally permeated by a life body and an astral body that were worked on by forces emanating from the higher beings on the detached sun. This ennobled the human form. While the spirits of form had given human form beings a form that adapted them to life on the moon, the sun spirits made them into beings that transcended that life. They then had the strength to ennoble their own nature by means of the abilities bestowed on them by these spirits. In fact, it was possible for even the aspect of human nature that was related to the lower kingdoms to be raised to a higher level. Perceived spiritually, the processes involved here can be described like this. The predecessors of human beings had been ennobled by beings who had broken away from the sun kingdom. This ennobling process especially affected everything that could be experienced in the element of water, since the sun beings who governed the elements of warmth and air had less influence on this element. For our predecessors, the result of this was that two types of beings exerted influence on their makeup. One part of it was totally imbued with the effects and activities of the sun beings, while the breakaway moon beings worked in the other part, making it more independent than the first. In the first part, the only states of consciousness that could come about were those in which the sun beings lived, while in the second, a type of cosmic consciousness, similar to that of the Saturn state, prevailed, only on a higher level. Our predecessors thus felt themselves to be an image of the cosmos, while their sun portion experienced itself only as an image of the sun. Within human nature, a certain conflict then arose between these two types of beings. It was resolved by the sun beings, making the material organism, which allows independent cosmic consciousness to come about, frail and perishable so that it would need to be cast off from time to time. Let me read that sentence again. It was resolved by the sun beings making the material organism, which allows independent cosmic consciousness to come about, frail and imperishable, so that it would need to be cast off from time to time. While shedding this material organism, and for some time afterward, our predecessors were dependent solely on the sun's influence. Their consciousness became less independent, and they surrendered completely to the life of the sun. Their independent moon part was then renewed, and after a while this whole process repeated itself. On the moon, then, our predecessors lived in alternating states of clearer and duller consciousness, accompanied by transformations in the material aspect of their being. From time to time they cast off their moon bodies and put them on again later. Seen physically, great variations appeared in the moon kingdoms described here. The mineral plants, plant animals, and animal humans were differentiated into groups. We can easily understand this if we consider the fact that because certain structures had remained behind at each of the earlier stages of evolution, their forms were endowed with the most varied characteristics. Still, some still displayed characteristics of the beginning of the Saturn phase, while others were typical of its middle and final periods, and the same was true of all the stages of the sun's evolution. In the cosmic body's evolution through successive planetary incarnations, some of the structures associated with it fell behind, and so did some of the beings involved in its evolution. A number of levels of such beings had already come about in the evolution leading up to the moon. There were spirits of personality who had still not reached their human level on the sun, but there were also others who had caught up to the stage of humanity there. The spirits of fire should have been human on the sun, but a number of them also fell behind. During the sun phase, certain underdeveloped spirits of personality had withdrawn from the main body of the sun to reconstitute Saturn as a separate cosmic body. Similarly, in the course of the moon phase, the beings mentioned above also withdrew to separate cosmic bodies. Up to this point, we have only spoken of the separation of sun and moon, but for the reasons described above, still other cosmic formations split off from the moon body that had appeared after the great pause between sun and moon evolutions. After some time, a system of cosmic bodies came into existence. It is easy to see that the most advanced of these must be called the new sun. Just as a bond of attraction existed between the underdeveloped Saturn kingdoms and the spirits of personality on new Saturn, as described earlier, a similar bond now formed between each of these cosmic bodies and the corresponding moon beings. It would take us too far afield to follow up all these cosmic bodies in detail, so we must be content with indicating why a whole series of cosmic bodies gradually separated from the unitary cosmic formation that appeared as Saturn at the beginning of human evolution. After the spirits of form became active on the moon, evolution continued for a while in the way already described. After this time, a pause again ensued, and the coarser portions of the three moon kingdoms entered a certain state of rest. But the finer portions, specifically human astral bodies, separated from these coarser formations and entered a state in which the higher forces of exalted sun beings were able to work on them especially strongly. When the rest period was over, they re-entered the parts of the human being composed of coarser substances. Through having assimilated these strong forces during the rest period in a state of freedom, they were then able to make these coarser substances mature enough to receive the influence that was soon to be exerted on them by the normally advancing spirits of personality and by the spirits of fire. Meanwhile, these spirits of personality had arisen to the level of consciousness of, in italics, inspiration, where they were not only able to perceive the inner states of other beings in image form, as they did in their earlier pictorial consciousness, but could also perceive the actual inner nature of these beings, as if in a spiritual language of sounds. The spirits of fire, however, had arisen to the level of consciousness occupied by the spirits of personality on the sun. Therefore, both types of spirits were able to intervene in the matured life of human beings. The spirits of personality worked on the astral body, the spirits of fire on the human ether body. This gave the astral body the character of personality. From this point onward, it not only experienced pleasure and pain, but also related them to itself. It did not yet achieve a full I consciousness that would allow it to say, quote-unquote, I exist, but felt that it was being carried and protected by other beings in its surroundings. Looking up to them, it could say, quote, these surroundings of mine maintain my existence, unquote. From this point onward, the spirits of fire worked on the ether body. Under their influence, the movement of forces within this body increasingly became an inner life activity. What happened there found physical expression in the movement of fluids and in phenomena of growth. Since gaseous substances had been condensed into watery ones, it was now possible to speak of a certain process of nourishment, in the sense that what was taken in from outside was transformed and assimilated within. If we think of something halfway between digestion and breathing as we know them now, this will give us an idea of what was going on in this direction. Human beings were taking nourishing substances from the kingdom of the plant animals. We must imagine these plant animals as swimming or floating in, or lightly attached to, the element that surrounded them, just as present-day lower aquatic animals live in water or land animals live in air. However, this element was neither water nor air, as we know them now, but something halfway between the two, a kind of dense vapor in which various substances moved to and fro in various currents as if in solution. The plant animals simply seemed to be like regular condensed forms of this element and were frequently only slightly different from their surroundings. Alongside the process of digestion, respiration existed, not as we know it now, but as a process of drawing warmth in and allowing it to stream out again. To supersensible observation, this was as if the organs involved in these processes were opening and closing again, allowing a stream of warmth to flow in and out and drawing in and expelling gaseous and water-like substances. Because human beings already possessed an astral body at this stage of their evolution, these processes of respiration and digestion were accompanied by feelings, so that a certain pleasure came about when the substances absorbed from outside were favorable to development. Displeasure was aroused when harmful substances flowed in, or even when they appeared nearby. As has already been described, the processes of breathing and digestion were very closely related. Likewise, the process of forming mental images was very close to reproduction. The things and beings in the moon, humans, surroundings, did not exert a direct effect on senses of any kind. The character of mental image forming was such that the presence of these things and beings stimulated pictures in the dull, dusk-like consciousness of human beings. These images were much more intimately connected with the actual nature of the surroundings than our present-day sense perceptions, which only reveal the outer aspect of things and beings through colors, sounds, odors, and so on. To get a clearer idea of the consciousness of the moon human, let's imagine it as being embedded in the vapor-like surroundings described above. A great variety of processes were taking place in this vapor-like element. Substances were combining and separating. Certain parts were becoming denser, others less dense. All this was taking place in such a way that although human beings did not see or hear the process directly, it did call up images in their consciousness. These images can be compared to those of our present-day dream consciousness. For example, when something falls to the ground, someone who is sleeping does not perceive the actual event, but may imagine that a shot has been fired. However, the images of moon consciousness were not arbitrary, like our dream images today. Although they were symbols rather than exact reproductions, they did correspond to outer processes. A particular outer process gave rise to only one specific picture. Moon humans were therefore in a position to adapt their actions to these images, just as we adapt ours to our perceptions. We must keep in mind, however, that our perception-based actions are subject to personal choice. While moon humans, under the influence of such images, were impelled to action by some unclear impetus. This pictorial consciousness made it possible not only to have an image of outer physical processes, but also to picture the spiritual beings and their activities that were in effect behind the physical facts. Thus, the spirits of personality became visible, so to speak, in the objects of the plant-animal kingdom. The spirits of fire appeared in and behind mineral plant beings. And the sons of life appeared as beings that could be mentally pictured without connection to anything physical, as etheric soul formations, so to speak. Even though the mental images of moon consciousness were symbols rather than exact reproductions of outer things, their effect on the inner human being was much more significant than that of present-day mental images transmitted through perception. They were capable of setting the whole inner being in motion and rousing it to action. Inner processes took shape in accordance with them. They were true formative forces. Human beings became what these formative forces fashioned. They became copies of the processes of their own consciousness, so to speak. That's the end of this part of the reading. I am finishing up, including paragraph 47, about halfway through the moon description. End of this part. This is the third part of chapter 4.